we're going to call the meeting to order, and at this time we will stand for a moment of silence and pledge to the flag, which we're back to. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence, except for the bells. We have the little different meeting this evening. This is our reorganization meeting, so that's going to be within the meeting. We'll go into that. But at this time, were there any modifications to the agenda this evening?
I move to accept the agenda.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Uh-huh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda is approved. This time then we would have set aside for citizens' comments. Any residents wish to address the board? If you would come up to the microphone, state your name since you're the only resident here. I won't ask if there's any
welcome.
Others.
Thank you.
Brian Arano, and I just wanted to take a moment and thank the board for the work that you guys do here. It's okay, I'd like to pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the opportunity that we have to gather here, Lord. And I come here grateful and thankful that these men and women have sacrificed their time. And I'd just like to ask that the work of your hands be done as they take these minutes and these hours to pave the way for success here with the youth and our community and for our school. I ask all of these things in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move into our reorganization meeting. And at this time, I would need a motion to elect a temporary president. What's that? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do have to follow my order. So, Mr. Secretary, have notices of the reorganization meeting been sent to all board members for the Public School Code 1949, Section 402?
Affirmative.
Thank you. Now, at this time, I need a motion to elect a temporary president.
A motion for Glenn Hartz.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Hartz, if you would kind of take the gavel.
Okay. Two things. Nominations do not need a second, and also any nominee can withdraw their nomination if they desire. So if someone is nominated, is there a motion for president?
Make a motion for Glenn Yoder.
Okay. Are there any further nominations? Going once, twice, three times? Is there a motion to close nominations?
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to close nominations. It's given that there's only one nomination, Mr. Secretary, would you please cast a unanimous ballot for Mr. Glenn Yoder, Chairman of the Illinois High School. Is there a nomination to elect a vice president?
I nominate Rodney Jones.
Are there any further nominations? Is there a motion to close nominations?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Congratulations to Mr. Yoder and Mr. Jones for president, vice president, respectively. And I need a motion to return the gavel to the newly elected president.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Congratulations.
Thanks.
moved. Second.
Second.
Who's that?
That's me.
That's Jen. Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The reorganization part of the meeting then is closed. We will move into the, we have a personnel report. It's very brief tonight. Hopefully everyone has gotten to look over that. And we need a motion to approve the personnel report.
Yeah, motion to approve.
Mr. Jones, and a second?
Yes, second.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Personnel report is approved. We have the Property and Services Committee, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, thank you. We only have, one action item for 2 weeks from today. It is the approval of amendment to our Section 125 plan. As you recall, that plan was developed several years ago for employees to be able to have pre-tax dollars withheld from their paychecks for medical costs as well as dependent care costs. Now that we're moving into the HSA, we are able to have an additional option, which what they call is a limited purpose FSA, which would be for after deductible costs and dental and vision costs. So we need to, for those employees that participate in the HSA, we need to make sure that we also have a limited purpose versus the general purpose, which we're typically used to. The employees that are under the HRA, which is the health reimbursement arrangement, that can't have the HSA under the new plan, will still have the general purpose FSA. So this amendment puts that limited purpose FSA in place. It also, we also had under the old 125 plan, we had a 2.5 month grace period. We've had some employees that have asked, instead of having the 2.5 month grace period, have a $500 carryover. So at the end of that timeline, or until they get all the claims cleaned up, whatever balance they have left over, they can carry up to $500 from year to year. So that also, with this amendment, puts that changes that from the grace period to the $500 carryover. And pretty much that's, and the only other option, I guess I should say, is previously they could only do $2,500 a year. Now they can do $2,550, so that increases the limit on that as well. So other than that, that's pretty much all the amendment does. And I'm going to ask for approval at our board meeting this month.
The reduction in hours, is that?
Yeah, that's just with the whole Obamacare thing. Is really just if somebody, it's giving them the opportunity that if their hours are reduced below 30, it gives them the opportunity to change their election. Without that, they have to keep that in place. Once they make the election and do an open enrollment, they can't change it for the whole year. But with this in place, if we would reduce hours from, say, 35 down to 25, because of that reduction in hours and pay, they could then terminate their Section 125.
But the 30 or the 29 hour rule or 30 hour rule, isn't that taken like the whole year and then divided by the number of weeks in the year?
Correct.
So it's an average of 30 hours.
Correct. Yeah, it's an average. Yeah, it comes out to like 130 hours a month.
Okay.
You take 30 hours times 52 weeks divided by 12, because you have some months that have more week, 5 weeks versus four. Comes out to about 130 hours a month, or if you look at the whole year, 30 hours a week.
Okay.
Mr. Ramsey,
yes.
Were there any surprises in the conversion from the old health care to the new health care? How's that going? Kind of.
It's going very well. I'll tell you, it's been crazy. We've had a lot of The scary part is, and just to be honest, a lot of the employees do not really know what they don't know. I've sent out multiple emails to the employees reminding them to go in and check their what they've elected. Running up the last minute, we've had people that didn't elect health care that wanted it, so we had made a lot of phone calls. Right now, we're trying to get the data transferred over to Health America and then on to Health Equity. We're trying to get that done by the end of this week so that the welcome packets can get out to the employees by the end of the month. So it definitely was a learning process, but we are providing many, many opportunities for staff. Dr. Hollister had a great idea. We're having a meeting on December 17th in the evening for not only the employees but also their spouses to come in and learn how they can utilize the Health America website to really shop services and prices with pharmacy. So we're having that in the evening. During that day, we're having retirees come in to do the same thing. And then we're also having a separate meeting that day for just the HRA people. All three meetings are really centered around how can I use the tools that are on the website to really help me save money, keep more money in my pocket. After the first of the year, once everybody's been in it for a couple weeks, we're going to have a meeting January 19th where we're going to have representatives here where employees can come in that day. That's an in-service day where it's pretty much their clerical day, where they can come in and just talk with the representatives from Health America and Health Equity, you know, with questions that they had after the rollout happens January 1. So none of the employees can say that they didn't have ample opportunities. I don't think the real tell of the whole story is going to be after January 1 when employees get that first bill that's, you know, $500, $1,000. That's when I anticipate the calls to come. So, but so far, with all of our vendors, Health America, Health Equity, BenEU system, that online open enrollment system, things have been going great. And going according to plan, it's just going to be how the employees react.
I have a question about the fourth one, the election change due to a reduction in the hours. In a situation like those accounts are set up based on an election of, let's say, $1,000 per year.
And correct.
Divided by the number of pay per year.
Correct.
What if an employee elected, let's say, $1,000 again, and then they were reduced in hours in February down to $500, but they already used the $1,000 due to some medical expense? Or what if they changed their election down to $0,
right?
You know, we're never going to recoup that. Do you see that
correct
being a problem?
I do not. I feel from our perspective, those that we were going to reduce hours are going to be those that that we've already done or outsourced to SDS, those clerical positions. On the flip side, those that don't spend all the money, we get to keep that as well. And historically, we've had a lot more money coming in than we've lost if people leave it, because the same thing happens if they leave. But really, there's not a lot of people that are participating. I think we have one person where that individual's hours have already been reduced that has elected to put money away in the 125 plan. Most of them are the dependent care. They have the for the daycares. And we only have one that's in the HSA that took the purpose. So we don't have a lot of people that are, because we've gone to the HSA, which is a lot better for them, where they can roll money year over year and forever. We've seen a great decline in the 125 stuff. So no, I don't see a problem.
I'd like to publicly just say thank you for all the work, because whenever you do a change, it's always difficult, and I'm sure that there's a lot. I mean, I knew there's more than what we see going on behind the scenes. So you and your staff, thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to echo that. I have seen it because I do see what's going on. It's been an enormous amount of work for him,
quite frankly.
He's gone above and beyond in order to serve our employees here, and he'll be thanked by Grumman for that eventually. So, unfortunately, that's, you know, you're going to hear from some folks who missed it, despite his greatest efforts. So, but it's going well because of Keith and because of the partners that he has chosen to work with in the different vendors that are coming in to assist, who have also really, you know, a lot of evening, a lot of weekend emails that I'm getting copied on, that these guys are pulling their plans together. So it's been a great effort by a number of people led by Keith. So thank you.
Is that everything that you have, Greg?
Yep.
Any other questions? Property and services?
Okay.
We'll move into program committee.
Yes, good evening. I have three action items. First one is the approval of the Agriculture Department Ag Advisory Board for 2014-15 school year. You have a list of the names. We are being audited by the state in January, and this is part of the requirement that we get these people approved. So that's why these are listed here. This is a regular audit, not because we did anything not good. It's just part of the annual routine of the state.
And this has to do, that has to do with funding that's tied to state funds and the agricultural program.
Yeah.
We have to have a board in place.
Yep. Any questions about that? The next one is approval of members for the Professional Education Committee for the Comprehensive Plan. It has been, the plan has been submitted to the state, but we are required to approve the community members that were part of that plan, were part of the whole comprehensive plan. And so we have some business people, board and community members, and parents that have to be approved. Okay. Any questions about that? The final approval for 2 weeks from now is the new novels for Garden Spot Middle School, 7th grade English. I once again put the book proposal there for you to look at, and the books are available still in my office if you would like to see them.
I think, did some of them read those?
I did.
Did you?
Great book.
Okay. Which one?
I was going to say I'm walking in it, but it's, yeah. Had an orange and red cover. It was very good.
Also, Mr. Johnson, if you could pull out 8.2 when we go from the consent agenda, we'll have a board member who will need to recuse for that action.
Yeah, I wasn't sure on that either. We do have two board members on there as well.
Board, they're filling board roles.
Okay.
That's different. It's really an abundance of caution. I don't know that we need to. I think it's just smarter to.
Yeah.
As Meredith is the spouse of John.
And I'm not exactly sure of my position on the Ag Advisory Board. I've been on there forever, but it's not in the ex officio, so I don't know.
If I recall correctly, we're supposed to have a board member on there.
Okay.
And that they are voting on.
So maybe we should put that on there, that's as a board member.
As a position.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
That audit is, I think, maybe there every 3 years.
I remember, yeah. I mean, I was on that board before I was on.
And quite frankly,
serve as the board.
The funding is a little less important to us now since it's not. We used a lot of that funding for Mr. Schultz, who's the advisor, farmer advisor. But since he's no longer a part of that, it's less significant. But still important.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have one information item. Once again, we are looking at new novels that are being requested, this time by Garden Spot High School English Program with a contemporary literature course. I have the four novels up there. They are The Bookseed, The Giver, Messenger, and Son. And then there is also an attachment with the contemporary lit novels that have an overview of the novel, some publisher reviews, a website for you to check out the novel, and I will have those in my office after December 3rd if you would like to come see those. Okay? We will be approving those in January.
Could you get a prospect for that and see if you'd like to
come? Sure. Can you pull out the contemporary lit novels? There is an attachment.
Well, but I didn't put my.
That's okay. The Book Thief is about an unforgettable story, the ability of books to feed the soul. It's a 1939, it's set in 1939 Nazi Germany. And so it's rated for appropriate for ages 13 and up. There's a website, as I said, that says commonsensemedia.org that tells you about the book. The Giver, that one some of you may know if you saw the movie, but that's by Lois Lowry. It's about Jonas's world. He is set to become the receiver of all memories, and he kind of shakes the whole world up by saying that everybody should have their own memories. And so once again, there's information there, Common Sense Media. Messenger is the third novel that goes along with the Giver Quartet, and it is about Maddie, who lives in a village, flourishes under the guidance of the seer, a blind man who's known for his special sight, goes along the lines of the Giver. And then finally, Sun. That's about Water Claire. And she washed up on the shore of a society where emotions don't exist. So this is all pretty much contemporary dystopian literature for adolescents. And the students will be able to, they're not necessarily going to read all these books. They're a variety of books that the students can choose from and a variety of reading levels. So like I said, if you would like to read any of those books for Christmas break or whatever you want to do, please just come see me after the 3rd. All right? Any questions? That is my report.
Thank you. And then the management committee, Dr. Powers.
Thank you, Mr. President. I feel like I want to take a picture because everybody's here. It's still a good-looking group. Anyway.
Getting better looking all around.
And that's exactly right. The first item that I'll have for action is the school calendar for the 2015-2016 school year, believe it or not. It's time to have that discussion. The calendar is a little bit trickier this year because of Labor Day falling later. It's almost as late as a Labor Day can fall, and therefore there's been a lot of discussion, some pushing and pulling among the superintendents about where schools are going to start. This becomes an issue because of the CTC. CTC teachers are only contracted for so many days, so it becomes difficult when one school district starts a week or two off of the others. There are about half the school districts who are starting on the in the week that I'm recommending we start. I'm recommending the start of August 24th, which is a Monday. We're still gathering the information. Not everybody has made their decision. What I hope to be able to do for you by the time we take action on this in 3 weeks is give you more tentative information about who's starting when. I think it makes a lot of sense for this school district to start at that time, but that is 2 weeks before Labor Day, essentially. it's also the same time frame or timeline that we have started this year. This year we started on the 24th or 23rd, I believe. So it's it falls at the same time of the year, it's just that Labor Day falls later. What that will do is it will give the students and faculty 3-4 day meets before we get into the full swing of things, which I kind of like. The other thing that the start on the 24th gives us, it conveniently allows Martin Luther King Day to be a day off for students, and that's the between the semester break. Our contract with the Teachers Association dictates that we have to give them one day in between semesters. So that day falls very well with this calendar. It also, the other thing that it lets us do, typically we make President's Day that Monday in February, February 15th. We typically make that our second snow day. With this calendar, I'm comfortable adding a few more snow days into June because the last day for students is June 2nd on this calendar. So it would push us too late into June. So I've added some more snow days to the end of this calendar, preserving President's Day for a little bit longer unless we really get whacked. I will look for action so that we can publish this. People are actually looking to make plans for the following summer already, and we have had a few calls already. So I hope, like, as I said, hopefully I'll have a little bit more information about where the split is across the county in terms of the other districts. I know a number for certain are going at the same time that we are. I know for a certain summer, a certain number are going to start the following week. So that's where we are. Any questions with the county? Always a controversial no-win scenario. Yes, Melissa.
Is the printed one right, the calendar, or the printed words that say what days are correct? Because they're different.
Probably.
Like where it says under teacher in service days, it lists August 25, 26, 27. But you have those as student days on the written calendar.
Yeah, that's not correct.
So which is right?
It's 18, 19, and 20 should be in service.
Yeah, like March 25th is Good Friday.
I crossed.
And you have it listed as a vacation day and as a in-service day. It can be both.
You are correct.
So
follow the
the printed math. Calendar days,
not the key.
Okay.
We adjusted and I must have crossed.
I just wanted to make sure that they were in the right.
I'm sorry. You know what we'll do? We'll put a revised one up on your private. I don't want that public yet for this reason. Follow the picture, not the key. Thanks, Melissa. Good catch. Really good catch. I have like 20 versions. I mean, I have. If you want to see the right one, it's in your center.
But did you set graduation day for 2016 yet?
Graduation day? Yeah, good question. Graduation day would, at this point, be Thursday night. June
2nd.
I know this is always a highlight of your year on this calendar, so thanks for putting that together.
We actually got started a little earlier. We had questions earlier because of Labor Day. People looking way out there. Because that does affect
the
folks.
It's as late as it can be, right?
I think it's as late or second late as it can be. Thanks, Melissa, for catching that. We'll get a cleaner copy up here that matches all that up. The next thing I have is the CTC. We talked about this commercial this last month. You in your packets have a document that you will need to actually sign when we do the roll call vote 3 weeks from now, and then you'll need to submit that. I gave you some additional information about that in writing. Basically, for those present, the CTC is planning to take a portion of the property they own and subdivide it so that they can create 27 building lots that they will use in their construction class, and that will keep that class in projects for the next 30 years. We're looking at breaking off about 19 acres from the 70 they own up in Mount Joy. And they will need a written roll call vote, which is a pretty big deal for that. We'll do that next at the board meeting. Any questions on that project or what your role is?
One question on that property. Did they buy that or was that property given to the CTC to build a CTC? And is there any deed restriction that they're going to be having to change in order to sell that building blocks?
I don't know that, at least on that. So deed restrictions.
You know, sometimes somebody will give up farmland to.
I want to say they own this outright. And it was a part of the original campus, but I'll find out. It's a good question.
It says they own the real estate. So.
Anything else on that? Good question. Okay, the last thing I have, coincidentally, there was a piece in the paper about this today. There are a number of things going on in the state related to school funding. It is commonly accepted that Pennsylvania is, in terms of ranking and the way they fund schools, sort of ranked 47th out of 50 states in terms of bad plans. This has been an issue. It's why there is an issue all through this economy. There have been issues with schools. The basic education formula is not predictive enough for a school district to plan that, because every year you just don't know what you're going to get. So there are a number of bodies out there that have recently come into existence, and I want to make sure we all understand what they are. There are essentially three different things happening right now that's getting a lot of press regarding funding. First is the Basic Education Commission. That's a commission, a balanced commission of just legislators who are trying to work out a plan, looking at all pieces of basic education and funding and trying to come up with some solutions. That group is at this point non-functioning. They're not talking to one another. So that didn't last very long. The staffers literally won't speak to one another, is what we're being told. So you can check that off as a non-starter. The next thing that's occurring, and again, you've seen some press on this, there is a school funding lawsuit. A number of school districts have been pulled together in a small coalition that is being sort of sponsored by a nonprofit organization out of Philadelphia. They've identified schools that are most hurt by some of the funding mechanism pieces that exist, including our own SDL, School District of Lancaster, as a part of that lawsuit. So that's sort of piece number two that's out there related to school funding. And then the third piece, again, we've done some commercials for this, is the campaign for fair education funding. That is a huge coalition of a wide variety of organizations that are basically trying to create a groundswell or a very broad-based grassroots movement to put pressure on the General Assembly to really look at school funding in a genuine way, not just slough it off to the side, but really embrace it. And when I say wide-based, it's everything from the School Boards Association, to the Superintendents Association, to the Principals Association, to the Rural Schools Association, to the Urban Schools Association, to the Charter Schools Associations, Chamber of Commerce in major cities, Chamber of Commerce at the state, church organizations. So they really have tried to get into all the different groups that is affected by education and are trying to tie them together into a common voice. At this point, the campaign for education is just getting started. There's no solutions. It's more of we all have to weigh in, we all have to understand the issues, and then we'll start, you know, choosing solutions from there. So affiliated with that is the Circuit Riders that you may have heard about. One of our former superintendents, recently retired Dr. Hudix from Solanco, is one of the Circuit Riders. His job is to go around and facilitate these conversations and provide information where appropriate. So without trying to confuse you, I've tried to boil it down. There's three basic things that are sort of circulating in the papers right now. It's these three groups. I think you'll hear the most about two and three because I think number one is already starting to fall apart. The one that you'll hear the most about is the Campaign for Fair Education, because there's so many different groups who are trying to be heard. I'll keep you up to date as we get more information about those things. And that is my information. Any questions on any of that?
And I believe we're paying Mr. Hudak to do that.
I believe we are. I believe the organizations who are on the campaign have all contributed to a kitty, and then that kitty is distributed successfully.
And it would be, we really should look at a different way of doing that. If you sit and listen to him, I guarantee it, in 5 minutes you're asleep.
Okay.
And I've listened to him twice.
Okay.
For what it's worth, and you know, discuss how and when we pay him.
They're looking at the whole harmless.
That's a big one. There are certainly from those groups. There's the whole harmless no, and then there's also okay. Maybe there should be some. You know, if you've lost a significant number of students, should the state still be giving you the same amount of dollars? And it's not a simple answer. We can all say, well, yeah, sure, that makes sense to us because we haven't lost that many students. But if you go out in the center of the state, where you know they need all those dollars just to keep the buildings open, regardless of the number of students, it's a different argument. And that is the challenge. This state is so diversified, and its population is so diversified. It's going to be a very difficult conversation. I think they're going to have to find new money to make this work, and that's just reality. There's also some other financial realities of the state, and they're not good, they're not favorable long-term. 5-year projections on state revenue, even best case scenario, doesn't work. They're going to need to find more money somewhere, and gas extraction is only going to cover part of that. So I think the General Assembly is going to have to do some very difficult things that are going to cost them their jobs as assemblymen. And whether or not they can do it is going to be the question, but they need to do something about pension. They need to do some other things about taxes, quite frankly. So because I had the benefit of hearing an economist just recently talk about this, and the projections that he has aren't favorable. The state's still over building almost $2 billion in debt 5 years out.
And I'm afraid we're going to be back to the days of not having budgets in July or.
I believe so.
Although, it's too early to say.
Yeah, we'll see.
I won't speculate on what I think they need to do or will do. They've got to make some tough decisions. And that concludes my cheery report. We do need an executive session briefly to talk about a land matter. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Hollister. Any other questions for the management committee? Any other announcements or for the cause? Yes, Paul.
Just be glad you're not a school board member for the School District of York.
Yeah.
There, they have one person appointed to decide if the whole school district of York City is going to be sold or be hire a charter to run it. It is a mess. And one person decides that. The school board, the only thing they can do is part of their job, and one person decides that that's going to happen.
Wow. Yeah, there's we're fortunate in the position
we are in. Very fortunate.
That's for sure.
Thank you.
is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?